hit this one, Miles.
You are listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.
DJ, bravo. He is a champion. Well, you don't need any introduction to this man who clearly is a champion, not just a champion performer, but a champion cricketer as well. Dwayne Bravo joins me on the podcast, The Business Called Cricket here. And he has traveled from Chennai to Delhi, about 2,181 kilometers, to be the captain of this T10 side. Bravo, tell me, T20, you've played test cricket, you've played the one-day cricket, T20, and now T10. How is it like?
It's a good journey. I must say, if someone had said to me 17 years ago that, you know, I will be playing cricket at the highest level and have a successful career, and, you know, I will take that any day. You know, my childhood dream was to play cricket and follow in the footsteps of my hero brand, Charles Lara. And I must say that I'm very proud of myself that I'm able to represent my country and represent so many different teams around the world and play the game with a lot of passion and pride and built a fan base throughout the world that people, you know, love and admire my skill. And, you know, with T10, the newest thing on the market now, and, you know, we as professional players, we are all excited to be a part of this tournament. And it's a new challenge for me. Obviously, being the defending champions last year with Maratha, I have the opportunity to try and do the same for Delhi Bulls and along with the coach, Andy Flower.
Bravo, is a freewheeling T20 cricketer the right way to describe you? How does one describe you these days?
Well, I retire from test cricket. I retire from one-day internationals. I make my return to international cricket early last year. Definitely T20 is where I part my career now. And now then again there's T10. So hopefully in the near future some more T10 comps open up throughout the world. I think definitely for the last few seasons it's been a big hit, a big success. And it attracts some of the best players in the world, you know. And you know, I guess hopefully somewhere down the road that more tournaments evolved just like T20 first started, and now it's one of the most successful run tournaments around the world.
Bravo. So, no seeing you again in the West Indian colours, or would you say never say never?
I'm playing for West Indies, but I'm just playing in T20s. I will not play test cricket again or ODIs again, but I passed that hurdle now, but definitely I make myself available to play T20s. I already played like 5 games so far on my return, and looking forward to the few series that have coming up in a couple months' time. So, yeah.
How is life of a freelance cricketer like? Does it give you a lot more time with the family, a better work-life balance?
I would say it gives you a lot more time with the family because as a freelance cricketer, there's the way how cricket is being played these days is there's a tournament. Every month there's a tournament, and, you know, and every country summer is different. So you'll have the English summer, you have the Australian summer, you have South Africa, New Zealand summer. You know, then we have India, we have PSL, so we have the CPL. It's busy just as you play in international cricket, even more busy.
But, really, it is more busy than the international calendar? How many tournaments are you playing now?
You can play easily up to 8-10 tournaments a year. That's a really good year. But I guess a lot of things have changed now because of the pandemic. But before that, yeah, you can play easily between 6 to 10 tournaments a year. It's good. It's good.
You know, there's been apprehension if you're not playing all formats of the game. It's very difficult to keep yourself fit for just one format. Is that true in your case, or would you say that's not quite true?
It all boils down to the individual. Obviously, the more cricket you play, the fitter you'll be cricket ready. But if you retire from international cricket and you only play franchise cricket, again, the amount of franchise tournaments that have around the world, it will also keep you active. I think what people say is that if you retire from international cricket and you only play one or two leagues, then it becomes a challenge. But for me, it's not a problem because, as I said before, I played in almost every league. So I'm always active.
Bravo, you know, you have played the tests, the T20s, the ODIs, the T20s, and now you're playing the T10s. Each version has its own charm. But how does T10 add to your cricketing skill?
T10 definitely have to be a lot sharper. For me as a bowler, margin for error very slim. And I challenge myself on competing against some of the best players, batsmen, in a format that is batsman friendly. Batsmen dominate that format. So as a bowler, I take up the challenge to see how good I am against the best. So it's a good competition. It's challenging, and it keeps you thinking on your feet. You have to be creative. So that's the beauty of T10.
And you're traveling from Chennai to Delhi this time around, though in a different format. I know how in Chennai you are a superstar, but how do you connect with Delhi now? And particularly the tournament is not happening in India.
Love a lot in Chennai, but I feel a love throughout India. So not only in Chennai, but you know, even if I go to Delhi and play, I feel a love there. I feel the appreciation. If I go to Mumbai, if I go to Bangalore, Calcutta, everywhere, throughout the country, I get a lot of love and support. And I always tell people my biggest fan base is from India. So I'm representing Delhi, the Delhi franchise in T10. I feel the connection, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. And who knows? They never know.
Really? Your biggest fan base is India?
100%. Mad. biggest.
How do the Indian fans connect with you? What do they say? What is so typical about the Indian fans?
Well, for a cricket crazy nation, obviously, cricket is the biggest thing in India. And for me, coming from the West Indies, I felt that, you know, it's like my second home. I always tell people, and they are so genuine. And I guess the way how I play the game, honest, fair, hard, I entertain. And that is what fans want to see. You know, they pay their money to come and see entertainment. They come to see the game. They come to see players compete against each other in a fair, free-spirited way. And that's DJ Bravo in itself. You know, I will dance, I will smile, I will, you know, do all these things in the cricket field that people can feel their joy through my style of play.
There's a lot of joy that you definitely bring on the field. Will we see you back in yellow when IPL resumes?
Hopefully. We don't know as yet. Definitely. We'd love to. So we don't know the rules as yet, what's going to happen, whether it's going to be an auction, small auction, big auction. I guess I just have to wait and see.
Who are your, you know, biggest connects and best friends in the Chennai team?
I'm good at everyone. Chennai is a team that everyone is very so close and connected to each other. So we all share a very good bond amongst ourselves. So it's hard to pinpoint one or two individuals.
Let me ask you this question, because, you know, you said you play in almost 7 to 8 leagues across the world. How was it like applying your trade in franchise cricket vis-a-vis, you know, playing for the country? Is it a lot more pressure because people are paying the gate money to come and watch you, and then there are these owners who've bought teams for maybe billions of rupees, billions of dollars? Would you say as a player, there's a lot of pressure to perform that way?
I don't feel added pressure. I mean, I've been around for a long time, and, you know, I have a lot of success with various teams around the world, win almost every title every competition that I played. Also taking a lot of wickets, make runs. So whenever I go to a tournament, it's not to try to prove myself to anyone, to any owner, any franchise. I guess my stats is already there and spoken for itself. But we go to win, and every time I go to a tournament, I want to win. The pressure from owners, I never experience it personally. Mm-hmm. But obviously, every owner, every management staff will want to win any tournament that they're involved in. So, it's not, pressure is not there, whether it's franchise or international cricket. It's not really something that really affect me.
Bravo, now that you're going to captain the Delhi Bulls side and you have to kind of be involved, directly involved in the strategies of the team along with Andy Flower, would the makings of the team, the performance and everything be left to you, or do the owners also help you strategize your game?
Over the years, with the teams that I played for, once I'm in charge, being a captain, mm-hmm. it's always 90-95% of the time boils down to the coach and myself. Mm-hmm. Owners is there as support staff, as guidance if of some of the field issue take place. Mm-hmm. I'm a strong believer in the captain, the coach, senior players, assistant coach. Mm-hmm. We all put our heads together and come up with a game plan and a format and a design of a style of play. Mm-hmm. Where we can go out on the field and execute. I don't see owners or outside influencers having a big, much impact or a big say, because I don't mm-hmm. think they will want to come into a team meeting and say we have to do X or we have to do Y. I think they trust the coach that they selected, mm-hmm. and obviously they give me the opportunity to be captain of the team, mm-hmm. seeing what I have done in the past with various teams. So I think between Andy Flower, myself, Azam Mahmood, and the other staff, coaching mm-hmm. staff, with mm-hmm. senior players and the likes like Nabi, Evan Lewis, and these players, we mm-hmm. can come up with a game plan that can do well.
And do you think this is the best format that can get into the Olympic Games, T10?
Well, it's the shortest, and it's also very entertaining, and you will have some of the best players in the world taking part in it. So if cricket is to ever have a sniff or a chance of being in the Olympics, I guess this could be a start.
And would you then fancy playing for the West Indies team to get an Olympic medal?
I don't know if I'll still be playing by then.
Los Angeles 2028 is not too far. If it gets
definitely in 2028, I will not be playing cricket. So if the Olympics and cricket isn't finally get its break in the Olympics, you might see me as a mentor, not a player.
Let me ask you, since now you're a player, what would you say is your biggest high? Winning an IPL title or winning the World T20 maybe with the West Indies team?
Yeah, definitely winning the World Cup is my biggest achievement, because it's a World Cup, and as athletes, you pride yourself on winning the highest prize medal. And in cricket and football, World Cups are the biggest thing. When I look at the NBA, obviously winning the NBA is the biggest mm-hmm. thing. But winning IPL is also great, because again, it's the highest and the most valuable domestic T20 tournament in the world. And to win it, it's not easy. And to win it more than once is also a great achievement. So those are two tournaments that I cherish, and I'm happy that I experienced the success in both.
Bravo, you are spoken in the same breath with some of the West Indian legends like Brian Lara and many of the past. What kind of legacy would you like to leave on West Indian cricket?
Yeah, my legacy, obviously someone who played all formats of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a fairly decent enough career in all formats of the game throughout. Test, ODIs, T20s, win 2 World Cups, win ICC Champions Trophy. For me, it's about how much I can give back to the game that have given so much to me, and try to, especially on a bowling side of things, try to get players and bowlers, especially in the wide ball formats, to understand and break down mm-hmm. T20 cricket, and by extension, one day international cricket. So in my later stages of my career, definitely I'll be trying to talk to a lot of young upcoming bowlers and try to teach them the things that I learned, the knowledge that I have and experience that I have, try to teach, put it towards them, and they can improve as soon as possible as well.
What are those typical Bravo tricks that you would like to pass on? I know that over the years, you have developed a lot of unique tricks to your bowling. So what is it that DJ Bravo would like to pass on?
I think reading the game and understanding the context of the game, what deliveries to bowl, when to bowl it, getting bowlers to understand dimensions of cricket grounds, wind factors, batsman strength and weaknesses, whether it's a batsman is a bottom hand player or top hand player, all these simple things add up, you know. And if the sooner you can learn these things and figure out these things on your own as a bowler, it definitely will help you.
Who's the captain that you've played with or played under who does this the best, knows his strategies the best?
MS is very good at that. Lara is good at it. Kyron Pollard is very good at it. So Brendan McCullum also is very good at it. They all have their different ways of leadership and tactics-wise. But I'm a big student of the game, so I try to make sure that I learn as much as possible and implement it into my game.
Bravo, when you look at the international cricketers today, I'm talking about Test cricket now, who do you think is the best captain in terms of strategy?
I don't like saying who is best captain. A captain is as good as his team. So it's difficult to say this person is the best captain or this person is the best captain. Every captain is different. And depending on your squad strength, then, you know, you will be able to lead your team according to the strength of your squad. So, you know, no two captains are the same. So, I respect all captains.
Okay, let me rephrase that question and ask you, who do you think is the one who really leads from the front?
All captains lead from the front.
Well, you're being diplomatic.
Why would I be diplomatic? All captains lead from the front. Like, you know, Joe Root lead from the front. Kohli lead from the front. Kyron Pollard lead from the front. Rohit Sharma lead from the front. MS Dhoni lead from the front. You know, so once you are captain, you know, Baba Azam, all these guys, once you are captain of your national team, more often than not, you will be your best player of your team, or the second best or something like that. One of the best. So your performance will not drop because you are one of the best players. So whether you are captain or not, once you are good enough, you'll perform, and with leadership, it always raise your game as a player. So all these guys throughout the international cricket are good captains, good leaders, good players. So they all lead from the front.
Bravo, you've played cricket for a very long time, over 2 decades now. What is the best thing, or what is the biggest lesson that you've got from the game?
I guess, you know, when the older you get to sit back and analyze a lot more than when you first started. So when you first started playing, you will make a lot of mistakes. And the older you get, you said, oh, maybe if I had known or had the knowledge that I have now, I wouldn't make these same mistakes that I make it. So I guess it's a learning process for every player.
Bravo, this year, you were talking about, you know, analyzing, sitting back. Would you say this year, the year of the pandemic, was the time that you analyzed the most, or anyone for that matter, when they sat home, they analyzed their game, their future the most?
Not really. Obviously, the pandemic opened up a lot of our eyes. You know, it make you reflect a lot more. Only more on a business side of life. I think a lot more about business opportunities more than anything else. Obviously, we just hope that at some point in time, things get better and, you know, you're allowed to travel and play again. But I more reflect about life after cricket, reflect about my next move, my next opportunity. So, yeah.
When the pandemic was raging, when the pandemic was at its peak, did you ever think that cricket, you may not get to play cricket again? Did that thought cross your mind?
No, it never crossed my mind. I was just studying, okay, when next we'll actually get to be back to normal and play again. You know, you see sports happening around the world without fans, you know, everyone in a bubble. That's a matter of thinking of when will this day come again, when it's, you know, you have full stadiums, you checked into hotel, you can go to a restaurant, have dinner, you know, relax, enjoy the beauty of a country.
Do you miss all of those when you travel now?
Yeah, for sure.
How is it like being in a bubble? This is a very new situation to cricket.
Yeah, it's not something ideal and it's not something we are accustomed to, but it's something we have to get accustomed to because we don't know when this pandemic is going to officially be over. But at the moment, we all have to play our part and be responsible enough to abide by government rules and the World Health Organization protocols and if we want sports to continue. So we just have to hang in there. We have to be disciplined, be patient. It's a positive sign that we still actually get into play. So we just have to look at the positive side and sooner rather than later get over the pandemic as soon as possible.
See, the Indian cricket team is touring Australia right now. Some of the players who are there have been a bio bubble situation for very long, perhaps since the beginning of the IPL and even before. How difficult do you think it might be for them to, you know, stay in such a situation over a period of time and maybe play cricket round the year?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's not going to be easy. No one said it would have been easy, but I'm sure if you ask any one of them that if they would rather be in a bio bubble scenario and playing the game that they love, or if they would rather be home and not playing, they will all choose to be in a bubble and play. We all will choose that to be in a bubble and play. So again, there is good and bad out of every scenario. So, but I'm sure these guys are happy to be playing cricket.
When you eventually get to UAE for the T10 tournament, are there protocols that you have to follow which is similar to the IPL? Have you been told?
Yeah, the guidelines is exactly the same as the IPL. So I guess they're following the IPL template, land, be tested, isolation, tested, practice, tournament, and all.
Is it a bit unsettling? Is it a bit unsettling to be tested so many times and being there in one hotel?
No, that's the problem with the testing. Every country or some nurses, they test differently. So sometimes the process is smooth and you know, pain-free, and sometimes the others are very painful and uncomfortable. So that's the only crazy part about being tested. You know, throughout the IPL, I must say it was the smoothest and the best I have ever experienced. Yeah, so we don't know what we're going to encounter now.
And one of the best things perhaps that happened during this time is West Indies traveling to England for the cricket series and them getting the Spirit of the Cricket Award for this year. Did you feel proud about that, being a West Indian and getting the Spirit of the Cricket Award, even though you were not a part of that side? But did you feel proud about being a West Indian at that moment?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I guess our history and the way how we care about ourselves, how we play the game, that is something definitely a part of us. And, you know, where a lot of people was scared and, you know, about making that first move to jump on a plane. And, you know, at that time, England was highly affected with the virus. You have to be brave, you know, to make decisions like that. But as I said before, as professional players, we all want to play. You know, it's our life. It's our livelihood. It's how we take care of our families. And any opportunity to play, we'll take it.
Bravo, while good things have happened after the pandemic, perhaps one of the lowest was, you know, the ugly head of racism rearing in Australia when India was playing Australia in the last test match. How do you react to such incidents in cricket and in sport?
It's not good. You know, there's no way that racism should be a part of sports and part of life in general. Like, I don't know how someone can be racist to another human being. I guess it's a cultural thing, depending on the country, depending on the upbringing of individuals. But I definitely do not support that. I never experienced it personally, but it's definitely not something good at all.
DJ Bravo, thank you very much for joining me on that chat. But before we end, I can't let you go without singing a song to us. Whatever
well,
you would
I just
like want
to put it out there to all my fans, all DJ Bravo fans, all the cricket and fans around the world. I just finished compose one of my new tracks that is going to be a tribute to some of our legends who have played the game, past and present. The name of the song is called Legend, and we have the likes of Sachin, Lara, Ricky Ponting, MS, Saviv, Sagari. You know, then obviously I have like Shah Rukh Khan, Big B, Mr. Bachchan, you know, some of our iconic Bollywood stars, cricket stars, football musicians, you know. The ones who passed and gone, like the late Bob Marley, Michael Jackson, Diego Maradona, they all included in my new song called Legends.
So can we hear a little bit of that?
This one is for the legends, for those who are living and dead and gone. It's like, Sachin is a legend. MS Dhoni, he is a legend. Ricky Ponting, he is a legend. Sachin and Lara are legends. Also, Yorkie is a legend. Will Smith and Jay-Z, Mayweather and Didi. It's like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Can't forget Muhammad Ali, Bob Marley, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson and Kobe. Them are legends. Legends, legends, legends. The whole world know them as. That's it.
Bravo is a champion. 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 Thank you very much, champion, for joining me
Thank
on
you.
The podcast. Lovely speaking
no
to
problem.
You. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Always hit this one, Miles.
You were listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.